Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Kaf Tes Ba'Adar Aleph Parashas Pekudei Tashin'ayin Vav, the evening of the third day, Tuesday, 8 March 2016, webcasting from Israel, where the counter of Jewish victims is constantly flipping upward. I wonder if that electronic clock at 43rd Street and 6th Avenue in Manhattan is still clicking away as the U.S. national debt skyrocks. I wonder if we need something like that here. On second thought, it would be not good for tourism, which is 25% of Jerusalem business, to see the daily scorecard. For example, 2 days ago, YNetNews.com posted a piece on how 321 people have been wounded since the current wave of Jew slaughter erupted last October. 33 dead, 114 treated for shock. Well, for sure today, saw a double-digit jump with the 10 wounded in Jaffa. By an Ishmaelite with a knife, who struck in three places, stabbed and killed, stabbed and wounded, 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 that's 10. Before being tackled or shot, I can't keep the details straight. There were so many episodes today. Earlier in the day, a female wild jackass of a woman tried to stab an Israeli soldier at the Kalandia checkpoint, but was disarmed, I think. Another female in Jerusalem tried to do the same thing, and she was shot dead. And then in Petach Tikva, a new twist. Two new twists, actually. One, the Jew stabbed several times in succession in his upper body, was still able to strip his would-be murderer of his knife and used it to stab him to death. Talk about an excellent Midrash instruction. Someone comes to kill you, kill him. And the second twist is that the Jewish victim and victor was a Haredi Jew. Kol hakavod, all the respect. Of the 10 wounded in Jaffa, 5 of the targeted Jews are now in serious condition, 4 moderately wounded, the 10th slightly so, which does not include the several witnesses, young women, I understand, who went into shock at the sight of the terrorist strike. And I almost forgot about the two policemen shot in Jerusalem by an Arab before other cops shot him dead. Well, it looks like Zionism has had a setback. The birth of this amazing little state over the last 150 years has not liquidated homicidal Jew hatred. Though, let's look on the bright side. This last half year has been nothing like 15 years ago. It will be interesting to find out if the GSS, the IDF, the police discover any connection between the simultaneity of today's several attacks and the arrival of Vice President Joe Biden, who was not far away from the Jaffa massacre in the Peres Center for Peace, talking with Peres, I guess. Who knows what he's up to here? The Wall Street Journal, a most reliable publication, just reported that the Muslim secret agent in the Oval Office is, in my words, not theirs, as obsessed with the Jewish state as he was when he took office, as he now contemplates yet another strike to match his great victory in the summer of sending $150 billion to Iran and saluted their right to build an atomic bomb, to threaten and even destroy Israel, God forbid. The Journal reported on different attacks he is contemplating. One, as a Muslim, he may try to use the UN to cement Muslim sovereignty over our Temple Mount, disguising that by calling for the recognition of East Jerusalem as the capital of the old new state of Philistia. They don't care about having a state, they don't care about having a capital, they just want to make sure the Temple Mount returns to their full control. Obama was also reported to be thinking of bringing back to life the quartet of anti-Jew players, the US, the UN, Russia and the EU, the last three proven veteran anti-Jew powers, UN, Russia, and EU. He may also be imagining where to draw the boundaries between Israel and his beloved, envisioned ancient Palestinian state. He also apparently believes that Israel can be rewarded by two concessions from the ancient ones. For all of this, they will give up the right of return and recognize Israel as the Jewish state, to which yours truly can only sneer. First of all, the Palestinians can never give up the right of return because they never had one. This claim is based on the fantasy of Palestinian rights in 1948, when that year the Palestinians were all Jews and they got their state. This claim to having a right of return is part of the fantasy of being an ancient nation in Palestine from time immemorial that lost its country to a bunch of thieves. And in any case, surrendering this imagined right gives Israel nothing. All it would mean, in theory, is saying we no longer believe millions of self-identified Palestinians have the right to invade Israel, receive citizenship, and vote the Jewish state out of existence. Secondly, the prime minister, in his tactics, keeps demanding that the Arabs recognize Israel as a Jewish state, but such a declaration would be utterly empty and of all value, for the Arabs are notorious for not keeping faith with the words they sign their names to. And in any case, we don't need their recognition of our right to freedom. We have it. In other words, Obama, like all anti-Jews, is incapable of identifying with us as fellow human beings and seeing the world through our eyes. If this Wall Street Journal report is accurate, and it sounds accurate, and he really believes in these goals, he has no idea how worthless are the benefits he's offering to Israel versus the price. Surrendering a couple thousand square miles of land since 1967, developed by Israel. Israel's money, Jewish money, put in new roads, electricity grid, water system, cell phone towers, telephone lines, gas stations, shopping centers, medical clinics, and above all, homes for 500,000 people. Obama is incapable of imagining what the two-state solution would mean to the 500,000 Jews whom his beloved Palestinians want to drive from their homes and move into them. Because that is all the Arab war against Israel is about, which is different from Islam's war against Israel. It's a two-pronged problem. The Arab war is just Arab behavior from the beginning of recorded history. As the divine Midrash, thousands of years old, teaches, of all the peoples, Hashem offered the Torah to the Israelites, rejected it because it says, don't steal. And I say it is no coincidence that the homeland of Islam is famous world over for chopping off the hands of thieves. The Arabs have a special connection to thievery. In 1939, Hollywood produced a marvelous special effects movie called The Thief of Baghdad, drawn from the only other book besides the Quran, which has penetrated world culture, A Thousand and One Nights, whose hero in the movie is a sweet scamp of a street thief whom Arab folklore significantly romanticizes. And then in the epic movie Lawrence of Arabia, 20 years later, T.E. Lawrence finds that in his efforts to mobilize the Arabs of the Arabian Peninsula to drive out the Turks, whose empire had ruled over them for centuries, he discovered that his troops, quote-unquote, the Arabs he mobilized, just wanted to loot the Turks. They just wanted to steal. Had no interest in liberty. Indeed, almost 1,000 years before Lawrence, the greatest of biblical commentators, Rashi, described Ishmael, following his expulsion from Father Abraham's encampment of hundreds of followers, he became a highwayman, says Rashi, an armed robber. That was Rashi writing from France in the 11th century, reflecting the common knowledge of Arabs then. Rashi, who was alive as the Christians launched the First Crusade, because the Arabs here were preying on Christian pilgrims and stealing from them when not murdering and raping them. And here we are, a millennium later, worrying about the tourist trade to Jerusalem, about pilgrims to Jerusalem, now frightened away by news stories such as today's about savage attacking brutal and brutish Arab murderers, killing people at random. It's days like this that only reinforce my faith in the religion of Moses and his Torah. It is never out of date. Its insight, truth, and wisdom are forever. Ishmael, Rashi reminds us, as the text itself says, became an archer, Ove Kashet, who wields a weapon of death used for killing food, but also human beings. What a savage people, whom Obama prefers over the Jews because he too is underneath one of them.
ריבונו של עולם, אתה נותן ליעב כוח, תן כוח גם לילדיך וחומך היהודים להלל שמך כל עובדך אותך
Yeah, the Arabs are a barbaric people, which before today's bloodshed was a conclusion that could be drawn from the morning's headlines in the MSM hard copy before today's series of violent attacks. Most headlines took note that while the Prime Minister saluted, if that is the word, the Gulf states, the GCC, the Gulf Cooperation Council of Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Kuwait, Qatar, the UAE, and Oman, that voted to label Hezbollah a terrorist organization. Of course, because everyone knows it's nothing but a front for the Iran that all of them are frightened of. But what made the noise here was the response of Arab MKs, whose joint list party, as it's called, issued a formal condemnation of the GCC decision, to which the Prime Minister responded, "Have you all fallen on your heads?" He reminded them that Hezbollah rockets can land on their homes too. Surely there's no other parliament on the planet in which elected members are so plainly identified with their country's mortal enemies, with Israel sadly still surprised, or rather Israelis sadly still surprised and upset that Arab MKs would talk this way, which I find more evidence of the fantasy of secular Zionism still affecting their thinking. Like Gabriela Shalev, remember her, the former Israeli ambassador to the UN, returning from her post and complaining about how alone she felt there, complaining about Israel's isolation. Evidently, she has never studied and pondered the prophecy of Bilam, a Gentile prophet who said Israel will be a people that dwells alone. She obviously remains a secular Zionist for still hoping, wishing for the day the Gentiles will stop hating us. And surely, like other enlightened Israelis, she thinks peace with the Palestinians is possible if we only evacuate the occupied territories. That Israeli MKs today in the Knesset were upset that the Arab MKs would support Hezbollah says at least as much about them as the enemy. It will be a revolution in Israel when the mainstream is not upset at Arab MKs for acting like this. In a way, although the enlightened progressives see themselves as far more compassionate toward the Arabs than us benighted regressive right-wingers, they still lack empathy for them, evidenced by their inability to truly empathize with them and see the world through their eyes and walk around in their shoes. There was, though, a news story today foreshadowing, perhaps, that revolution in Israeli consciousness. 2 days ago, some local Israeli opinion poll operation reported that the current coalition government would not survive elections were they held today. The implication people are dissatisfied with Netanyahu's stewardship. Well, today we read of the Pew Research poll, which was likely far more professional and less tendentious than the local Israeli survey, which discovered that just shy of two-thirds of Israel's people, Israel's Jews, 63%, identify with the right wing or religious parties, versus only 28% who favor the center or the left. Moreover, not a majority, but a plurality of 42% of those polled believe the settlements bolster everyone's security, versus only 30% who believe the opposite, with 25% saying it neither helps nor hurts. This is good news in addition to the betrayal of the two-state solution a few weeks back by Zionist Union head Buji Herzog. I also think that in large part, those who remain loyal to the Oslo delusion on the left, among the elite in journalism and politics and the arts, do so because of their embarrassment, their shame and wounded pride and damaged egos that prevent them from admitting how wrong they were in supporting the Oslo madness. It was, after all, the brainchild of Shimon Peres, who still thinks Mahmoud Abbas is a man of peace, this Holocaust denier, this terrorist henchman of Arafat, the greatest Jew killer since Hitler. Shimon Peres remains, for yours truly, the National Village Idiot, and I hope historians of the future treasure his 1994 book, or 93 book, called The New Middle East, written and published to market his Oslo peace plan, and to see how perfectly wrong-headed he was. I'd put this book in the same category as Herzl's Old New Land, which envisioned a peaceful birth of the Judenstaat and a peaceful, tranquil life afterwards. Herzl didn't have a clue as to the character of the Arabs and the character of Islam. And here we have Shimon Peres, Yossi Beilin, Yitzhak Rabin, idolized Israeli novelist Amos Oz, all perfectly witless about the Arabs, about Islam, about the Europeans, whose EU bureaucracy truly reflects the still surviving Jew hatred in Europe, even after the Holocaust. And in that same hopeful spirit of wishing for a revolution in Israeli thinking, which could be on the horizon. The Knesset is considering a bill strengthening the right of the police to order the Muslims who operate their mosques to turn down the volume of the loudspeakers on their minarets that 5 times a day blare out the call to prayer that the Muslim enemy in the Oval Office finds so beautiful. Well, it's not to Jews. Not to this Jew, it ain't. It wasn't to yours truly more than once traveling in Arab lands and staying in downtown hotels close enough to some mosque that woke me up repeatedly in the dead of night with its wailing from those loudspeakers sounding like a stuck pig. The Knesset addressed the reality in this little country of hundreds of thousands of Jews who have to put up with this annoying wailing 5 times a day. Reuters reported that the bill is not expected to succeed because, Reuters quoted, the Israel Democracy Institute that is appealing to MKs to oppose it as an attempt to, quote, encourage the destruction of Muslim communities. The Israel Democracy Institute is opposed to that. What a joke. This is a middle-of-the-road enlightened think tank. It's not super left, but it's middle of the road and not particularly Jewish. Its focus is democracy, not Judaism. Listen to the name of that Israeli NGO, the Israeli Democracy Institute. Then consider this pronouncement in the name of democracy in Israel. Israel's demos should not want to see the destruction of Muslim communities. That's got to be wrong. This is patently false. For sure, a public opinion poll asking the question, if it were possible to see the Arabs leave our country, would you be happy or sad? Surely the majority of Israelis in this democracy would be happy. And that would solve the loud Muslim PA system annoyance for sure. The Israel Democracy Institute. Another enlightened farce. Its staff and directors are not religious and as such not particularly concerned with things Jewish. Their religion is democracy, which requires, so they think, perfect equality between Jews and Muslims in this country. And I say, how un-Jewish and how foolish.
Avinu Malkenu Shema Kolenu Avinu Malkenu חטאנו לפניך אבינו מלכנו חמול עלינו ועלול עלינו ותאפנו Avinu Malkenu
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Well, the Gatestone Institute, based in New York, in contrast to the Israel Democracy Institute in Israel, reported today that the United Methodist Church will, in its quadrennial conference in May in Oregon, join the Presbyterians and the United Church of Christ and the United Church of Canada in formally supporting the BDS campaign against the world's only tiny Jewish state. How thick, how dense these people are, how truly unenlightened they are for being unable to peer into the darkest recesses of their minds and souls and see the anti-Semitism in this behavior. One wonders how many appliances these church elders have in their possession, in their homes and on their persons, made in China, that they do not boycott a country that has a history of persecuting Christians. Same China that has been oppressing the Tibetans since Imperial Communist China overran that country in 1950, and has ever since been trying to stamp out Buddhism because Marxism sees all religion as false consciousness and must be stamped out. In the Soviet Union, the official ideology was atheism. I imagine it was in China, too. I know in the Soviet Union, atheism was taught to school children as the national religion. The hypocrisy of these church elders singling out Israel for boycott, disinvestment, and sanctions is breathtaking. Last webcast, I expressed my jaw-dropping amazement at the Presbyterians coming out in support for the armed struggle, which in practice is terrorism, the random slaughter of Jews, and here is yet another church jumping on the destroy Israel economically bandwagon. I suppose the only compensation for us Jews for this obnoxious return to age-old Jew hatred is that all these mainline churches are reported to be contracting, shrinking real fast. We've seen how in the UK the figures are astonishing, how there are more Muslims in the population than Christians identifying with the C of E, and so should we not be surprised that their spiritual offspring in North America, like the Methodists who came out of England, are in serious decline too, I imagine, versus the evangelicals, who are reported to be growing, and not surprisingly, thanks to their respect for the Jewish people and the one Jewish state. One of their favorite biblical verses comes from the first conversation between Hashem and the first Jew, Avraham, when the Almighty tells him that those who bless you, I will bless, and those who curse you, I will curse. That's another amazing piece of Torah. For sure, in history, all the tyrants who hated and oppressed the Jews went down, while the Jews, though suffering, survived. Nazis, communists, Muslims, all are totalitarian cultures that hate individual freedom and hate the Jews. Look at the Arabs today in Syria, Yemen, Libya, Iraq. Iraq, where just the other day, another 60-plus people were murdered in a suicide bombing. Consider the miserable poverty in Egypt. Yesterday in Tunisia, there was a battle on the border with 45 mostly civilian people killed in a fight between jihadis and government troops. So let the Methodists join with the others in their 21st century version of their community's centuries-old antagonism toward the Jewish people. We will survive.
Shir lama'alot Esa einai el harim Me'ayin yavo ezri Ezri me'im ha'ashem עושה שמיים וארץ אל ייתן למות רגליך אל ינום שומריך הנה לא ינום ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל השם שומריך השם צילך על יד ימינך יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה השם ישמורך מכל רע ישמור את נפשך השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם שיר למעלות אשא עיני אל הערים, מאין יבוא עזרי? עזרי מעם השם, עושה שמיים וארץ, אל ייתן למות רגליך, אל ינום שומריך. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומריך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל, השם שומרך, השם צילך, על יד ימינך. יומם השמש לא יקקה וירח בלילה, השם ישמורך מכל רע, ישמור את נפשך. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם. השם ישמור צאתך ובואך מעתה ועד עולם.
Okay, one more dead today and lots more wounded who we must pray for, some of them quite seriously. God willing, I'll be back on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.